So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 47, text number 1 and 2. So we chant together number 1. Sri Shuka Vacha, Tam Visha Krishna Nucharam Braja Sriya, Tam Visha Krishna Nucharam Braja Sriya, Pralamba Bahum Navakanja Lochanam. Pralamba Bahum Navakanja Lochanam. Pitambaram Pushkaramalinam Lasan. Pitambaram Pushkaramalinam Lasan. Mukaravindam Parinrista Kundalam. Karavindam Parinrista Kundalam. Shishuka Vacha. Tam Viksha Krishna Nucharam Rajashriya. Pralamba Bahum Navakanja Lochanam. Pitambaram Pushkaramalinam Lasan. Karavindam Parinrista Kundalam. Him. Viksha. Seeing. Krishna Anucharam. The servant of Lord Krishna Uddhava. Brajasriya. The women of Raj. Pralamba. Hanging down. Bahum, whose arms, Nava, young, Kanja, like lotuses, Lochanam, whose eyes, Pita, yellow, Ambaram, wearing a garment, Pushkara, of lotuses, Malinam, wearing a garland. Lasad, effulgently glowing. Mukha, whose face. Aravindam, lotus-like. Parimrista, polish. Kundalam, whose earrings. Suvismita, quite astonished. Ka, who. Ayam, this. Apivya, handsome. Darshana, whose appearance. Kuta, from where. Cha, and. Kasya, belonging to whom. Achuta, of Krishna. Vesha, wearing the clothing. Bhushana, and ornaments. Iti, saying this. Sma, indeed. Sava, all of them. Arivavru, surrounded. Pusuka, eager. Tam, him. Uttamasloka, of Lord Krishna. Who is praised by the best poetry. Pada Ambuja, by the lotus feet. Ashrayam, who is sheltered. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami said, the young women of Raja became astonished upon seeing Lord Krishna's servant who had long arms, whose eyes resembled a newly grown lotus, who wore a yellow garment and a lotus garland, and whose lotus-like face glowed with brightly polished earrings. Who is this handsome man? The gopis asked. Where has he come from and whom does he serve? He is wearing Krishna's clothes and ornaments. Saying this, the gopis eagerly crowded around Uddhava, whose shelter was the lotus feet of Lord Uttama Shloka, Sri Krishna. Text 3. Tam parish tam prashayena vanatasu satpritam savridahase shanasunritadibi rahasya prichan upavistam asane vigyaya sandeshaharam ramapate. Bowing their heads in humility, the gopis dully honored Uddhava with their shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. They took him to a quiet place, seated him comfortably, and began to question him, for they recognized him to be a messenger from Krishna, the master of the goddess of fortune. Purport by Sri Krishna. Purport. I'm so used. The chaste gopis were enlivened to see that a messenger had come from Krishna. As Uddhava would discover during his stay in Vrindavan, the unique gopis could not think of anything but their beloved Krishna. Om Magyana Dibrandasya Gananjana Srakaya Shakshamunetam Yana Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadhanaya Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Namne. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nivisesa Sanyavadi Vasachadi Shatarine. So it's very instructive how the gopis are receiving Uddhava and approaching Uddhava. First, as we have in the previous few verses in the last chapter, when they saw this chariot outside Nanda Maharaj's house, they thought, what is Akrura doing here again? Isn't it enough that they're taking Krishna away? What does he want now? But then when they saw Uddhava came out, they were astonished. Who is this handsome young man? And he's wearing Krishna's clothing. Yellow garments. He dressed exactly like Krishna. He looked like Krishna. The same ornaments as Krishna. Who is he? And understanding that he must be a servant of Krishna. He must be a messenger of Krishna. So they received him very nicely. They honored him with their humility. They bowed down in humility. And they honored him with shy, smiling glances and pleasing words. Actually, this is how one should receive and honor the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They should be properly honored. Not that we receive them in a very nonchalant way or very callous way. When the representative of Krishna appear, he should be properly honored. He should be properly taken care of. Some people outside the process of devotional service, they cannot understand this. Because basically, there's a lot of envy. Material world means enviousness. And the spiritual world is conspicuous because of envy. There's no envy in the spiritual world. Material means envy. If someone has everything, why he has, why I don't have? I'm more qualified than he is. Why he get this and I can't get? So it's not fair. And sometimes people, they come to the conclusion, there cannot be a God. God has to be very intelligent. Why he's awarding this to this person, but I'm more qualified and he's not awarding it to me. And they cannot appreciate when someone is being properly honored. Although we see that actually in the material world, it's going on. Sometimes there's a representative of state or someone who is had a high stature in society, when they come to a meeting, they're properly honored, they're properly received. I don't know how it is, but even in India, or even in Malaysia, when they come, someone comes, they get a garland, they're properly seated, seated in the center, isn't that sometimes when they have meetings, functions, they're the guests of honor, so they're properly received. But of course, there will be people who are envious. Why him? Why not me? So this is going on. When Prabhupada came to one city in America, the devotees came and fetched him in the Rolls Royce. And one reporter made some comment and said, "Why? You are spiritual personality, and why are you driving around in a Rolls Royce?" So Prabhupada was not defensive at all. He said, "Why Rolls Royce? The spiritual master is a representative of God. You can pick him up in a silver car, a gold car. Why only a Rolls Royce? What is the big deal?" And another time in Paris, I think one of the first programs they did, a public program in Paris, they placed a Vyasa-san on the stage of Prabhupada to sit on. And there were a lot of left-wing students in the audience. They did not like it. They keep questioning, "Why? Why are you higher than everyone else? Why are you sitting on a high seat than the rest of everyone?" So Prabhupada was not backing down. He just gave back. But of course, the next day he told them, he said, "Take away the Vyasa-san, lower seat." Because if people's mind agitated by such things, they will not be able to hear. Prabhupada was also very practical. And this is also during Krishna's time. People are envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, when he's properly honored. During the Rajasuya sacrifice of Marjudhisthira, they were going to appoint the guest of honor or the main personality to be worshipped. And in the assembly was unanimously agreed that Krishna is the most qualified person to be worshipped. But Shishupal made some comment. He didn't like it. He was envious of Krishna. He was envious of Krishna right from birth. His business in life was to insult Krishna. So he said, who does he think it is, Krishna? How can he be so impudent to take the seat of honor when Bhishma Dev is here, Dhritarashtra is here, Dronacharya is here, so many great personalities are here. How can he think that he is suitable for taking the seat? Nobody knows what his caste is. Born in the Kshatriya family, grow up with cowherd boys. That's the thing. Krishna does not belong to any caste. In fact, he performed all the activities of the different castes. He was born in the Kshatriya family. He grew up amongst cowherd boys, acting as a Vaishya. He was driving the chariot of Arjuna as a Sudra. And then he spoke Bhagavatam simultaneously. I think it's Brahmana. How can you place Krishna in any category? He's beyond any category. So Shishupal, he was blinded by his enviousness. He could not see, he could not appreciate who Krishna was. So here the gopis, because they were always absorbed in Krishna, so when they see someone, a messenger of Krishna, a representative of Krishna, immediately they can recognize. Oh, here's the representative of Krishna. And they immediately honored him with their smiling glances, with pleasing words. And they took him to a quiet place and seated him comfortably, and they began to question him. inquire from him, what is Krishna doing? What is Krishna doing in Mathura now that Kamsa is killed? So this is the how. So this kind of attitude is possible when one is free from enviousness. When there's envy in our heart, it is very difficult to honor others or to properly appreciate the qualities of others, because then our eyes will be blinded by the envy. Pride is also another quality that blinds our vision. Pride, enviousness, then we cannot appreciate. Even when the representative of the Supreme Lord comes, we cannot appreciate that. But Srila Prabhupada came, he walked among so many people. Some appreciate, some don't. Why? Because they're envious. Even among his God brothers, they cannot appreciate what he was doing. They cannot appreciate that he was able to carry out the order of his spiritual master, Sri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Whereas others tried and failed, Sri Prabhupada succeeded. Even one time, I think it was Prabhupada Disappearance Day festival, one God brother came and he was speaking. And even in that speech to honor Prabhupada, he was trying to undermine. And was saying, yeah, you know, these people in the West, they're too low class, you know. We won't go there. Only Abhaichan, he would have gone there. Like they're too low for us to touch. But trying to undermine, actually that's a glorification. Yes. Srila Prabhupada had a vision. Although this externally they may be very fallen, but they're all spirit souls. All spirit souls. And they all belongs to the family of Krishna. And because he was empowered by Krishna, he was able to deliver all these fallen souls. That's the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is known as Patita Pavan, the deliverer of the most fallen. The more fallen one is, the more one is entitled to the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Srila Prabhupada, he was empowered to do that. He was able to do that. So someone may want to make some issue out of that, but if someone is not envious, he can appreciate. Yeah, we all tried. We could not do it, but he was able to do it. Everyone know how Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj was wanted to spread Krishna consciousness beyond the shores of India. He even sent one disciple there, spent so much money to go there, and came back with almost nothing. Oh, he initiated one lady, one kind of a maybe quite elderly lady. When the devotees first started there, they came there. There was a small sign there, Gaudiamat. And she was not very open either to facilitate the devotees. So Prabhupada, he was able to do it. And the so-called Mlechas, Yavanas, the fallen souls, untouchables, because they have no preconception of what things are, they were able to appreciate Srila Prabhupada's qualities. He is a nice gentleman. He is a great spiritual leader. He's very aristocratic. And they were able to appreciate him, and they were able to appreciate his message. And they said, be able to take up the process of Krishna consciousness and progress in Krishna consciousness. Not only the God brothers, even in India, certain leaders, they were not able to appreciate. There was one time, some Hindu leaders came, very angry, see Prabhupada, and they were complaining, they were accusing him for spoiling Hindu Dharma. You are spoiling Hindu Dharma because you give Brahmins to all these malachas. How can you do that? Think of doing that, giving Brahmin to malachas. So, Prabhupada, of course, he didn't say a word. He defeated them by his humility. He just looked down. They went on and on and on. And then after some time, because he was not, Prabhupada was not responding, they got quieter and quieter and quieter, and then they stopped out of the room. And Prabhupada defeated them without speaking a single word. So, this kind of thing is not uncommon even during Kali Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. How in the discussion of in the house of the uncle and the father of Raghunath Das Goswami, Hiranyagarbha and Govardhan. Yeah. So they were discussing the glories of the holy name. And fortunately for them, Haridas Thakur was present. Unfortunately for one of them. Some they were saying, yes, by chanting the holy name, one can attain liberation. Or one can get free from all sinful reaction. And Haridas Thakur said, yes, it's true. By chanting Hare Krishna, one can get free from all sinful reaction. You can get liberation. But that's not the main purpose or the main reward of chanting Hare Krishna. These are all side effects. By chanting Hare Krishna, one actually develops love for Krishna, one gets Krishna prema. And there was one person there, a brahmana, he could not appreciate the statement from Haridas Thakur. He said, how can you make such a statement? And he was blaspheming Haridas Thakur. And he even went so far that to say that if this is not true, then your nose will fall off or something. And of course all the others, they were upset by the blasphemy of this brahmana, and they chased him out of the house. Actually, this is how one should deal with it. If one hears any blasphemy of devotees, one should not even be there to hear it. In the Shastra is prescribed, one should cut off the person's tongue or defeat him by argument. At least walk away from that place. It's unsuitable to be there. A place where blasphemy is taking place. Otherwise, by hearing such blasphemy, one will fall down from this platform of devotional service. Of course, this brahmana, by blaspheming Haridas Thakur, he developed leprosy. So in this, instead of Haridas Thakur's nose falling off, his nose started falling off. So, and also at the time, the brahmanas, so-called Hindus, they also could not appreciate what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing. Spreading the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. They went to Chankasa and complained, you are the governor here, you should do something to stop this chanting. Because if everyone starts chanting, the potency of the holy name will be decreased. Can you imagine that? What kind of understanding is that? That means they're thinking that Krishna is limited. His holy name is limited. So in this way they were complaining to Chankasi. So again, enviousness. So if everyone take up the chanting, they're all going to the Vaishnava, nobody will come to us. And nobody will honor us anymore. So a devotee, one of the main qualities of a devotee is that he's non-envious. He's non-envious. Because this enviousness is a big stumbling block and the path of devotional service. So the gopis, they were always absorbing Krishna, and when they saw someone who is a messenger of Krishna, immediately they could recognize and then honored him properly. They honored him. So when the spiritual master comes, we should honor him properly. Not only a spiritual master, any advanced devotee, senior devotee, a preacher, they come, you should honor them properly by rendering service, making them feel comfortable. And here the gopi seated him comfortably and took question and began to question him. We can also honor the representative of the Supreme Lord without ears by oral reception. I always find it very interesting that Prabhupada used the words submissive oral reception. You know, come across that phrase, submissive oral reception, especially in the first canto of Bhagavatam. So many times Prabhupada used that phrase. So one has to submissively receive the instruction, not in a challenging way. So in this way we properly honor the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we should also learn to appreciate devotees who are able to manifest certain quality of Krishna. Krishna has so many qualities, and sometimes we see different devotees, they have different talents, they have different qualities that they use in Krishna service, and we should properly appreciate that and honor that. Pujari may be serving the deities very nicely, dressing them very nicely, and we can see, oh, Krishna looks very happy. And they dress very nicely today. We can appreciate that. And we can go out to Pujari and say, Prabhu or Matiji, such nice service you have done for the deities. How often do we do that? That's the problem. We often take so many things for granted. We take things for granted. So actually, another phrase that Prabhupada used, I always find very interesting and very meaningful. He used the Krishna consciousness. So what does that mean, Krishna consciousness? What does it mean, conscious? So to be always conscious of Krishna. So we have to be conscious of what we are doing. We should not go about the day, throughout the day like a robot, just doing things as routine. But we should be conscious. Conscious of what we are doing, conscious with our surrounding, conscious of who is around us. Be conscious. So if some devotee is doing something nice, you appreciate, honor them nicely, appreciate them. Or just like we honor spiritual master, he comes, he deliver, he give class, and we honor, oh, very nice class. He's delivering the message of Krishna. So other devotees may be very good at kirtan. They may sing very nicely, play mudanga very nicely. Someone may be managing very nicely. Someone cook very nicely. Or someone may be just doing some simple service, making. What's the Mataji is making garland, beautiful garland. There are different ways you can make garland. You can just stick them together, and you know. Or you can put some effort into them, make them very nice, with a little piece hanging out. So there's an expression of devotion. I remember Devanrita Maharaj used to chide us in the class, saying, We talk about devotional service, not service. Service performed with devotion. That's what devotional service means. Not just doing something, but doing something with devotion. Serving with devotion. So, when someone does something nice in the service of Krishna, we can appreciate that. We can recognize and say, oh, that's very nice. Very nice service. And by seeing the expression of love that a devotee put in his service, one can become inspired. Instead of becoming envious, one can become inspired. Say, look at this devotee. Such a nice service is performing for Krishna. And I can become inspired by such service. He's doing something so nice. Let me take shelter of such devotee. Let me take the dust from his lotus feet upon my head. Let me serve him. Let me associate with this person so his enthusiasm and his devotion can also rub off on me. And I can also develop such devotion. So this is the eagerness. We should develop that eagerness, that ability to appreciate others. It's very essential, very important. So here in the purport it says, the chaste gopis were enlivened to see that a messenger had come from Krishna. They became enlivened. So actually, sometimes I hear devotees say, oh, they're a bit down. Prabhu, I'm down. I'm in the mood today. I'm feeling depressed. I'm this. I'm that. What is that? There's no such negative feelings in the spiritual world. How can we feel depressed? How can we not be enthusiastic? How can we not be enlivened all the time? Here we are in the association of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What are we doing here? You have to ask yourself, what am I doing here? Why am I not enlivened? How can we not be enlivened in the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? If we cannot be enlivened, then what are we doing here? What is the purpose of our doing here? Just to have a peaceful life? Just to take shelter from the miseries of the material world? Isn't it? How can we not be enlivened? Krishna is here. Radharani is here. Gonita is here. Jagannath Balade Subala is here. Taking some rest to be appearing again soon. So many devotees are here, engaging in their various services, in a different expression of love and devotion. Open our eyes and see and watch and observe. How can we not be enlivened? Even for the new person, a new devotee, just by observing the new devotee, we can become enlivened. Wow. This amazing effect of Krishna consciousness. This person, just 1 month ago, 2 months ago, a few months ago, a year ago, what was he doing? Where was he? He was down in the mud. He was engaged in all kinds of sense gratification. All kinds of sinful activity. And look at him now, he's shining. He's effulgent. And he's doing services. This is so enlivening. Isn't it? The amazing effect of Krishna consciousness. So you learn to cultivate and develop this ability to open our eyes and see and observe and become enlivened. All our senses can become enlivened in Krishna consciousness, if we care to open it and see, open our ears to hear, and we taste prasadam, When you taste something nice, how often we go to the cook and honor the cook and show some appreciation? There was one time in one of these books I read, there was this family in the farm, and it was a big family, and this wife, she was cooking for years and years. And one time, he just dumped some raw meat or whatever, just dumped it on the table. And then the family member was shocked. He said, "What is this? Where's our dinner? What is this that you put on the table?" I said, "What do you care? For all the years I cooked, you have not mentioned a single word of appreciation. So so I thought you don't appreciate what I'm doing anyway, you know, so what does it matter? I cook something nice or I just throw something on the table." Isn't it, we do something and how nice it feels if someone come up and say, "Oh, Prabhu, that was really nice." How nice it feels, yeah? And how enlightened you become. And what goes through our mind is, wow, and you want to do it more. And you want to do more of the same thing. I know when I was, especially when I was a Sankirtan devotee, in the early days, it's not like, now you have to ask Prabhu, "You want to do arti?" "No, you want." "No, I know you do." Was doing arti for Prabhupada was very special. So every Saturday we'll come back from traveling Sankirtan, and on Sunday, the top distributor, the one who distributes the most books, will have the honor of doing arti for Srila Prabhupada. And I was thinking, wow, I want to do arti for Prabhupada. So in order to do that, I have to be the top distributor. So that motivated me. And when I did that, finally I managed to do that, and I was doing arti, I said, wow, I want to keep doing it. I like it. It's really nice doing arti for Prabhupada. So I have to be on top every week. So that was like not a little thing, something special. So we should never take devotional service for granted. And we should never take one another for granted. And above all, you should never take the deities for granted. Then you start making offenses. And become offenses apparat in deity worship. And also, of course, definitely we should not take the spiritual master for granted. The different apparat. You have Vaishnava apparat. You have the Murti apparat. Then you have Guru apparat, which is the most severe. Sometimes we may take for granted spiritual master, especially like they say, what's that word? Familiarity breeds contempt. Familiarity breeds contempt. So how do we commit offenses against the Guru? One of the offenses is disobeying the orders of the spiritual master. When we disobey the other spiritual master, basically what it means is we think he's an ordinary man. Because if you really, really appreciate that the spiritual master is the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we will take every instruction he gives very seriously. When we disobey the order, it basically means he's an ordinary man. I don't have to take it seriously. I don't have to take the instructions seriously. It's the same thing when a senior devotee gives instruction and we don't take it seriously. That is the same thing. I mean, not in the same category, but it's the same mood and attitude that we do not honor that person. And we do not appreciate that person's what I say, advancement of spiritual knowledge. So in this way we also commit offense. So these are more subtle arts of devotional service, different etiquette, proper etiquette. Vaishnava etiquette is actually the crown jewel of Vaishnava. When one time Sanatana Goswami, he was going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So when he finally came, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him, which way do you come? He said, I came by the beach. And it was summer, and it's very hot, the water on the sand. He said, why do you go on the beach? It's so hot. Why do you go around the temple, Jhana temple? He said, no, I'm so fallen. I'm so fallen when I pass through the Singha Bay. And the Saivas, the pujaris, going in there to do service for Jagannath, just by seeing me, they will become contaminated. So I cannot go, I didn't go that way, so I went the other way. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so pleased. And he said, this, yes, this etiquette is the jewel of the Vaishnava. What's this word? What's the Sanskrit word? Sukho. Never forget. Crown jewel. So there are a lot of etiquette one has to learn eventually. Learn to follow. So that what our progress in spiritual life can progress nicely and not be hindered. Different etiquette. And basically the main etiquette underlying is humility. That's why here I say that this verse, bowing their heads in humility, the gopi is duly honored, Uddhava. So when we have this humility, then we will be able to properly honor others, able to appreciate. Otherwise our head is so, that's why they say, he is so full of himself. Isn't the expression? He's so full. So his head is so blown out of proportion, so full. There's no humility there. It's so heavy. He cannot accept instruction from any others. He cannot appreciate any others. Nothing will be able to come in. Whatever you see, he will not be able to process because it's full. He's so full of himself. So this is essential. The Srila Prabhupada, he was, even though he was a spiritual master, he was able to appreciate the endeavor of his disciples. There was a famous letter, one person was writing the letter to complain about his disciples, some of the behavior. He said, yes, maybe their behavior may not be top-notch or whatever, but still, they are following the spiritual master. They are engaged in activities that are so sublime that even so-called big learned persons cannot perform. Yes, we may not be born in Brahman family. We may not be trained up in Brahminic culture from birth. We may still have some malicious habits left over. And our dealings may not be always so smooth. But because one is engaged in devotional service, which is the most sublime activities, one is actually in a very, very special position. In this sense, so if we can see things in that way, we can learn to appreciate every single devotee and properly honor them, every single devotee. Because As Prabhupada said in one purport in the Bhagavad Gita, he said, anyone who turned to Krishna and saying, he said, my dear Lord, from today on, I'm yours. Krishna personally take care of him. Even just once. Just turn to Krishna and say, from today on, I'm yours. Krishna take personal care of that person. So every single devotee has turned to Krishna and said, I'm yours. At least once. So how dear they are to Krishna. And how can we not appreciate and properly honor such devotees? And properly honor them. Despite, yes, there will be discrepancies. Krishna also saying Bhagavad Gita. Every endeavor is filled with faults. We are not perfect. We are trying to engage in the most perfect activity in the imperfect world with imperfect senses. So we do the best we can. So we just learn to go beyond, a bit beyond the external, and just see that even someone who may not be the big devotee, someone who normally we consider as spaced out, he belongs to, just like in the army, the different units, right? So this person may belong to the space cadet, special division, the space cadet. But still, just consider how much struggle that person has to go through just to perform a little bit of service. That person, his senses are going berserk, his mind going somersaults all the time. He's struggling with so many attachments, so many demons he has to deal with, and yet he's trying to do a little service. How much endeavor that person is putting in just to do that little service, which for us may be something very simple. And we just do it like that. And we see that all the time. Every day we're seeing that, even in Crossway. People are coming in and they're doing the service. Like yesterday, Korn came. He is someone who is like, psh, Manoratena Satidavata over here. Someone who is on the chariot of the mind. Every day is coming in that you can see the whole mind on his face. But he stays and do service. He cleaned the whole floor. It's so much more hard work now with the new floor. Before we just had to, you know, with the machine. Now we have to sweep it and mop it. And he did the whole thing. He worked so hard, his skin was coming off. Because he didn't have a proper brush. So generally one may say, this guy is so spaced out, you know. Yes, despite his spaced outness, despite his mind giving him all kinds of problems, despite all the things he may be having to deal with, he stayed in his service. He spent a full hour doing service. And we appreciate it. We really appreciate it. And we gave him a lot of pats on the shoulder. Thank you very much. It's so nice. And then he was fearful. He said, I said, isn't it feeling so great doing service? Forget the mind for a while. He said, yeah. But now I have to go out again. What should I do? He was fearful of going out again. So just go on, just think of Krishna. So isn't it nice when we all have this kind of attitude and vision? And isn't that we become so enlightened? Don't we become enlightened if we have this vision and to be able to see and appreciate what each and everyone is doing? Properly honor other devotees. We said, Trina api sanichana, taro api sanichana, amanina manadina, kitaniya sadari. To honor others and not expecting honor in return. Always honor others. So this is the gopi setting example. They're showing how to properly receive the messenger of the Supreme Lord. So, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? There's nothing.
Just the issue of sort of respect and envy and all that sort of stuff. Sometimes in a small community, a particular person can find themselves being the target of envy of others. What's the best way for them to respond to that and behave on a daily basis?
There are two ways to become a person. The first way is just be extra humble.
Sorry?
Be extra humble.
Uh-huh.
And serve that person. And if they don't work, just avoid. Or you can do the Aussie way, direct. Prabhu or Mataji, have I offended you in any way? No? Then please forgive me if I have offended you in any way. Because we may have offended the person somewhere unknowingly. So you can always approach. And so at least your side is clear. How the person react, you cannot control. It depends on that person. If it doesn't work, then just avoid. Just offer your respect in the mind and just avoid. Right? Mahatma Prabhu, please give some closing comments.
As you said, if you think the spiritual master is God, naturally you obey him.
If the spiritual master is God, we don't think spiritual master is God.
The presence of the Lord, and naturally you respect him.
Yeah.
That's
what we say. Always see oneself as a servant of the servant. Gopit Batu Kamalayo Dasa Dasa Nudasa. So you always see ourselves servant of the servant of the servant of the servant, 1,000 times removed. Then a safe position. Actually, it's a safe position to be a servant of the servant. It's not as safe to be a man in charge. Man in charge sometimes. Actually, when you're in charge, you're supposed to be a bigger servant. It's just like the structure of the bhakti raksha structure. First, you have one cell. They even call it, servants sector, a different name. The name of the different category are all servant. So now you're servant of one cell group, 10, 15 devotees. As it branches off, you become in charge of a few cells, then you become servant of more devotees. So actually, the higher position you are, the more of a servant you are, because you're serving more devotees. The spiritual master also is thinking, I'm also serving my disciples.
The root cause is false pride.
Ahankar. False pride, yes.
That is the main thing.
Real knowledge, if we actually think ourselves to be advanced and learned, then we should be free from pride. Because in the Bhagavad Gita, it said humility, pridelessness. Now the qualities, one who is in knowledge has this quality. The first two items mentioned were humility and pridelessness.
They say a tree which is full of fruits is always bending down.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yes, someone who has some substance, right? That's a tree that fruits is bending down.
And the one who is not bending fruit is strength, state, like palm tree.
Yeah. If standing too straight, cannot bend down, when the wind blows too strong, they get blown away. But you see some trees that bend, even though with very strong wind came, they bend. And when the wind goes away, they come up again. But someone said, no, ow, they get blown away. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.